Yes, it is time, and thank you for listening. You can't depend on your team. This is Three Guys Before the Game, the Here Come the Antelopes edition. I've never said that phrase in my life. Welcome in, everybody. Three Guys Before the Game. Tony Caridi along with the Senator, Brad Howe. Mountaineers standout and continuing practice player, Nathan Adrian. And we welcome you in. So, West Virginia, since the last time we got together. Last time we got together, we chatted about West Virginia's win over Oklahoma. We said, hey, that was great. What a surprise. West Virginia beat the Sooners. How about that? Man, we should be happy for this team. We have not gotten together since West Virginia avenged its 31-point regular season loss to Texas Tech and knocked off the two-seeded Red Raiders and then advanced to Friday's semifinal round at the Big 12 against the Jayhawks of Kansas, where two things happened. One, Quentin Grimes of Kansas absolutely lost his mind and made six threes, and West Virginia ran out of gas. That leads us to Selection Sunday. Not the Selection Sunday that WVU normally is used to. They had to wait a little bit till after the 9 o'clock hour, and it came out that West Virginia will be in action on Wednesday, taking on the Antelopes of Grand Canyon out of Phoenix, Arizona, member of the Western Athletic Conference. We'll talk about all of that on today's program, and today's program is being brought to us in part by the folks at Bet Lucky. And right now at the Point C and Stake at Wheeling Islands Hotel, Casino, and Racetrack, you can put a very, very fine dining experience together with reasonable prices. Perfect for a night out for two or a night out with more than two. Your friends and Senator and I just ate there last night. That's fantastic.
It's very good.
Nathan, we missed you there.
No one invited me.
Yeah, no. Senator, Senator and I shared a tomahawk steak. It was very nice.
I think I could have done that on my own.
I think you could have too, but the menu truly said tomahawk for two. So that's why I said, okay, let's split it. So that's why we did it. But it was wonderful. It was fantastic. So if you go up to Wheeling Island, we encourage you to check out the restaurant. All right. So here we go, sports fans. Where shall we dive? We'll do this chronologically. We have not chatted since the Texas Tech victory by WVU. I know it's been a weird season. I know it's been a long season. But I tell you what. That one's going to stay with me for years and years and years to come for so many different reasons. This was a West Virginia team that obviously was flat-lined and dead and got run off the floor, laughed at, embarrassed in Lubbock by 31 points. And then when West Virginia had its chance to avenge that loss for no reason whatsoever. Here's Texas Tech trying to win its first ever Big 12 conference tournament. They've never done that. What better situation? You go in as the two seed. This is not the year Kansas is going to be dominant. You can win this thing. No Dean Wade for Kansas State. The door is open for you to win this thing. And who do you have to play? Who do you have to play in the quarterfinals? The West Virginia team that we beat by 31 in Lubbock? And it was like this transformation happened, and someone put on a West Virginia team that just went off. Everybody on that court. Everybody on that court played a huge role, and West Virginia played West Virginia basketball, and they were the more physical team. They were the team that was nasty and mean against the team that basically, you remember Bob Huggins said after they got beat in Lubbock, he said that Matt Mooney of Texas Tech, he just big boyed us. He was just holding Jordan McCabe off like he was like the kid at grade school. Like, here, I'm just gonna put my hand out there, and you're gonna stay away from me because you're in fifth grade and I'm a ninth grader. Just stay away from me. And in the course of less than a month, West Virginia comes back and beats them. So I think that's a forever win to me, because of the circumstances.
The revenge tour that West Virginia went on was remarkable. TCU, what was that, 30-plus?
31.
Iowa State, 25?
25.
Texas Tech, 31.
Think about
that. And you turn around and beat all three of those teams later in the season. So I think that just illustrates kind of what we have said over the last few weeks, is this team just went from simply unwatchable to playing really well and together and looking like a team that you wanted to watch. A couple things jumped out to me against Texas Tech. Obviously, Emmett Matthews breaking out offensively and putting that kind of game together. We'd seen some flashes throughout the year, but that was the first time where you really got to look at him that you said, all right, that dude's got some offensive skills and can get you buckets when you need him. He was fantastic. But maybe the most remarkable part for me was the fact that West Virginia jumps out to that big lead. They give that big lead up, went down, and still found a way to come back and win. So of all the remarkable things, we could go on for an hour about that game in particular. That, to me, is what jumped out. You blow the big lead and still find a way to win it. That's a huge program win right there.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest differences between the old team and the new team is that whenever something used to go bad, the entire team would just shut down, and you could tell we'd tuck our tail between our legs and just wait for the end of the game, and that doesn't happen anymore. We compete until the end or as much as they possibly can. I know against Kansas, they just ran out of gas, and when things started to go bad, they didn't have anything left to make up for it. So I think that's one of the biggest differences between then and now.
Okay, so why does that happen? Why did that happen? Has there ever been a team that got beat twice in the regular season by 31, come back and beat the team, and then the 25-point loss to Iowa State? So why, Nate? Break that down for us. Why do you're practicing with these guys. Why do you think that they have suddenly developed the ability to be able to handle negative and bad things happening during the course of the game and go through them?
Because you have the majority of the players on the same page listening to your coaches now. You don't have guys going in the opposite direction as what everybody else is trying to do. It's like when you're trying to row a boat. If one guy's rowing backwards, boat's not going to go anywhere. You have to have everybody going in the same direction. And that's what's going on now. Everybody on this team wants to win and wants to play for each other and wants to play for the coaches. Everybody from the coach all the way down through the managers has to be on the same page in order to be successful, especially for us because we're a culture team. We're not a talent team.
All right. Who surprised you among those guys out there? Is it the easy course? Is just Emmett Matthews was the biggest?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be because coming into the season and up till even this game, I didn't think he had any of that in him. I didn't – not only the scoring, but just the stuff to him in order to play the way he did. He was talking crap to a lottery pick the entire game, basically telling him that you can't guard me and this kid's going to make millions of dollars next year.
Which he couldn't.
I mean, most freshmen don't have that in them, so that surprised me.
How about at one point late in that game, so you know his points, you know his scoring total, he ends with 28. At one point in that game, going late into the second half, he had 6 rebounds, all offensive.
Yeah.
He had 6 offensive rebounds. All of them were offensive. That's a stat you don't see very often. He finishes with 8 rebounds, Emmett Matthews. So, again, add him to the list of guys. We've talked a lot about McCabe. We've talked about Haley having individual performances that stepped up. There's Emmett Matthews. This team also, don't overlook, it won 2 games in the Big 12 Conference Tournament with Derek Culver scoring a combined 12 points in those 2 games. That's a nice step forward for this group as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in the first game, they got great contributions against Oklahoma from both Andrew Gordon and Logan Rau. I thought Logan Rau played really well. Every opportunity he was given in the tournament, he did a nice job. And so we congratulate those guys, and that's obviously big, big stuff. So they run out of gas against KU, and that sets the table now for this week against Grand Canyon. And I know what you're thinking. Grand what? Where? How? What? Are they what? They're real. They're real. They're a program that has been around for a long time. They made the transition to Division I not all that long ago, but they were a really good program from the NAIA days, then the NCAA Division II days, and now with Thunder Dan Marley as the head coach, they have not been knocking off in consecutive order 20-win seasons. They were 1 win away from getting the automatic bid from the WAC to the NCAA tournament, but they lost. So they made it to the championship. They were that close. So now what are you going to get when they come into town on Wednesday? Probably a really super hungry team, maybe, or we blew our chance to go to the NCAA tournament. Ugh. I don't know. The mental aspect of this game on both sides is going to determine who wins the game. More so than the skill level on the floor. This is all about your head. I'll elaborate. How did West Virginia beat Texas Tech? West Virginia wanted it more than Texas Tech because of what happened to them in the previous game. They said, you're not going to bully us. We're going to be the initiator. When Texas Tech pounded West Virginia, it was because they had just gotten beat by Kansas, and mentally they were drilled by their coaching staff for being too soft. So they went out there and they laid the hammer on West Virginia and Lubbock. Where's your head? That's where these games are. That's how this is determined.
Well, isn't this very similar to a bowl game that we talk about all the time, that West Virginia, what the heck bowl game was West Virginia just in? What'd they play in this past year? I don't even know what they played in.
They were in one of them.
Isn't it similar to that from a, it's not the NCAA tournament. It's not the bright lights of the tournament where you should automatically be up. Yeah, you're going to have to get yourself going. You would think West Virginia would be ready to play given what they just came off of, but you would also think Grand Canyon would as well. This is a program maker for them, for a program that this season has lost to Texas, Seton Hall, Utah, and Nevada. So it's, there's some guys, but at least you're not playing them at home. Have you ever watched one of their home games?
Circus.
Their home, it's an absolute circus. So you get them on the road, you should beat this team, but you're right. If you don't show up, you're in some trouble, but you should come out and beat this team. Handle it.
Now joining us for a personnel breakdown on the Antelopes of Grand Canyon, Nathan Adrian, who played against one of these guys.
Michael Finke. From Illinois.
He had to remind me about the game. He goes, remember when we played Illinois? I went, when did we play Illinois?
Was it in Brooklyn?
It was in Brooklyn. Before the Temple game. Remember we played, got
Kicked
beat by Temple.
Yeah.
So you played against Finke. So do you think when you go to practice today, you'll play the role of Finke?
Oh, yeah, I'll be Finke.
You will be Finke.
That'll be me.
That is awesome. So Nate's going to be Finke. They got some bigs, right, Nate? They got two 6'10ers.
Bigs. They got Michael Finke, and then number 25, I think he's from Spain. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Smith. No, just go ahead.
No, he's good too. I mean, they can both step out and shoot threes. They're both big bodies, and they got a guard in Carlos Johnson who can really fill it up. He had 34 in the semifinals of their conference tournament. So there's guys that we're going to have to guard, and if we come out flat, and like I said, if somebody's not going in the same direction on the same page as everyone else, and this could turn into an actual game.
They have a lot of players that they use. 10 players play 10 or more minutes a game. 4 average double figures. 6 average 7 or more points. So, as Nathan said, there's just not one big gun that you got to shut down. There's going to be a lot of different guys out there. And for West Virginia, you know, the bench has gotten smaller. For the most part, 7 guys playing significant minutes, and we'll see how that rolls.
They are down a guy, the best defensive player in their conference, as well as the best 3-point shooter, Jared Martin. He is out. He went down a few games ago, so at least you're getting them without him. And don't forget, guys, about number 5, Matt Jackson, the Jackhammer, as they call him.
I'm taking a look at his
numbers.
Very
inspirational, Nate. Guy after your own heart. He's had 5 surgeries, and he's still back playing.
How many surgeries did you end up with?
Only 2.
Just 2. How many do you think you should have had?
More than 2.
Well, I mean, heck, don't worry. As you get older, you'll be there. So anyway, so someone asked the question earlier, is this a good thing for WVU to be playing in this CBI? I got a bunch of reasons why I think it is. Nathan, put yourself back in those days. If you were a baby, once again, as a freshman, do you think the Derek Culvers, the Emmett Matthews, the Jordan McCabes et al., Jermaine Haley, since it's his first year here, do you think those guys are into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you're a freshman, all you want to do is play more games. So I can see how they would want to be into it, but you kind of got to be careful because right now everyone's behind the basketball team. Everybody's back in after being completely out. Everybody's excited for next season. We can't wait for the future. If you go into this game Wednesday and blow a game at home, a lot of people are going to jump back off.
Right, absolutely.
And that's not what you want. So I think this could be a good thing, but it could also be a very bad thing if we do lose.
See, I think that's the key point right there. I think would you ask the question, is this good for West Virginia?
Correct.
I'll tell you in a couple weeks.
No, because I don't know now.
I don't think you can answer that now because I think Nate's exactly right. You go in and chuck this up on Wednesday, you give back a lot of the goodwill that was just built up over this run at the Big 12 tournament. Now, you go on and you win this thing and you get to play in that goofy 3-game series final, which we love, and you win the thing. Okay, then you get some, you've added to your goodwill moving forward. You've given the fans a chance to see 3, 4, 5 more games with this particular core. So there can be some good that comes out of it, but you better go deep in this thing.
Okay, I agree. I think that the best case scenario is that West Virginia wins this thing. And if you do it in 5 games, you do it in 5 victories, you don't get you have to sweep the best 2 out of 3 if you get to that point. You would finish the season 19-20, which is the most absurd, crazy record I've ever heard in college basketball.
Played 39 games.
Right. 19 and 20. So there's some weirdness going on here. The team with the most losses in school history was 8 and 20. That was back in the early 2000s before John Beilein took over. That team went 8 and 20. They played 28 games. West Virginia has already tied the record for most losses in a season, but potentially they could play 39 games. They could play 11 more games if that were to happen. I think this. You just played three games at the Big 12. You potentially could play five games in this, eight. You can play probably four games when they go to Spain in August. That's 12. See, to me, that's the value of this thing. Almost a half of a season's worth of experience for these guys that would set the table for next year, and next year is a ridiculously difficult schedule. It could be as hard as they've had since Bob Huggins has been here. He just kind of went like, yeah, we'll play him. Yeah, we'll play him. Yeah, we'll play him. It's going to be big boy. And so I think anything they can do to get more reps in to prepare themselves is invaluable.
But to fit that model, you're agreeing with what we're saying here. You've got to go win some games.
Yeah,
you can't be one and done in this thing. As the only Power 5 team in this entire field, you have got to go get some W's.
Correct. Agree with that. I think if you stubbed your toe along the way, it would leave a blemish. I think we'll always look back at the Big 12 tournament and say, hey, those guys need to be commended because they were just bad a couple weeks before that. And
agree.
The fact that they've – the fact 231-point redemption games and a 25-point redemption game, unheard of. Now, maybe a year from now, if you came back and beat one of those teams that beat you by 31, you say, hey, a year ago that team lost to 31. What a big difference. When you've done that in 4- and 5-week intervals, to me, that's unbelievable. I've never seen it before.
The level of improvement with this group was massive and unmatched. I mean, you can't go find another team that was as bad as this group was that improved to get where it got. Improvement during the season is expected. This level of improvement was absolutely remarkable, I think.
You know, Friday night, after the team meal was over, all the kids had left, and James Long, you know James?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know James,
I've
don't
met
you?
Him.
Yeah, you've met him. You've lived with him. But anyway, so James, who's on the video staff, he's really good buddies with Javon Carter. So they were FaceTiming each other. And Carter was sitting on the bench getting ready to play a G League game that night. And these guys, they get individual times where they work out before a game. So Tariq Phillip was out there getting a workout in, and JC was waiting for his time to go out there. So we were talking to him about the game, and it was hilarious. He said, man, he said, talking about the night before against Texas, he said, I'm in my bed. He said, I'm watching the game in my bed. And he said, and Emmett Matthews comes down and dunks that ball. He said, I screamed so loud. He said, I jumped out of my bed. And but what he said was, how about the offense that they're running? He said, it looks unbelievable. I'll be quite honest with you, it looked better than those guys looked a lot of times, right? It really did. That, to me, is what's encouraging them. Emmett Matthews, Jermaine Haley cutting, getting balls, getting shots, great passing. Lamont West underneath the Jermaine Haley, Derek Culver passing the ball.
Chase Harler sealing a guy on the block for a pass across the lane from Culver. That, to me, that's when I came out of my seat on the Matthews thing as well, but I came out of my seat when Derek Culver gets it, spins, just spins immediately, throws a diagonal bounce pass across the lane because Harler's at the block with a guy on his hip and he lays it in. I'm like, what are we watching here? This is unbelievable. Who are these guys?
Yeah.
Tremendous turnaround. And so yes, even if you chuck one up here to Grand Canyon, that should be the story of this team, is how far it came late. But I think you add to that narrative with some wins in this tournament, and certainly if you go on and you win the thing.
I'll close it by saying this. Don't chuck one up to Grand Valley. Don't chuck it up to Grand Canyon.
Just go in.
Go out there and play. $10 tickets, and you get to sit wherever you want to sit. Maybe even on the Mountaineer bench. I mean, $10.
I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be a bunch of people there.
For $10? What do you think, Sen? I heard you were going to make an appearance.
I'll go.
Yeah.
I'll go. Sure. Yeah.
$10. Go on there and show this young team your appreciation for what they did in Kansas City last week, and cheer them on. And then if they win this game, then you're off until the following Monday. So show-wise, what we're going to do is we'll be back here this coming Thursday after Wednesday's game. And we'll all three of us will be in a state of depression if we're not talking about a win. They got to win.
It won't be good.
You need to do your job.
I do my job.
No. You need to do your job. No. The three guys before the game brand is telling you right now that when you go over there this afternoon in a matter of 40 minutes and lace it up, I want you to do more than just practice. I want you to tell those guys and get them together and say, hey, listen.
Hold on now. That's not my job.
No, it is your job.
That's not my job.
It is your
job.
No.
My job is to be Michael Finke. It's their job.
No.
It is somebody's job to step up and motivate their own team.
Disagree. I say that you go in and say, hey, look, as a guy that was an all Big 12 conference honoree, don't blow this opportunity because let me tell you something. I no longer can play for real. Your guys have a limited time clock. Don't blow this lead. And I want you to talk to them about Stephen F. Austin and how that season should have never ended.
Oh, they're purple.
Yeah. Tell them how that season should have never ended early, but you guys screwed that opportunity up. Don't screw this opportunity up. Can you do that for me? Don't you think you should do that?
Aren't you going to be over there?
That's a good message.
No, I'm not going over there.
That's a good message.
I'm saying you have to distill what you did against Texas Tech and bring that back onto the floor because these people here in the stands are going to be the ones that are wanting you to win more, you know, the most that anyone wants you to win. These are going to be the absolute hardcorest of the hardcore, win for them, win for the state. Will you do that for once? Stop leading by example and start leading by words. What do you think, Senator?
That's a great pregame speech right there.
You should bottle that up and just go do it.
Go deliver it.
That's what we need to do. All right, we're out. Three Guys Before the Game, episode 102 is in the book, brought to us by the Point C and Steak at Wheeling Island Hotel, Casino, and Racetrack. Book your dine-in experience now and check it out. You can also get your reservations through OpenTable.com. For the Senator, for Nathan, episode 102, now officially into the book. Back with you on Thursday. Share the word. Share the podcast. And go get yourself an antelope.